As school students happily start the summer vacation, doesn't mean learning has to stop. In fact, a steady and consistent learning process has shown to be a path to a better school performance versus a cold restart come September. Here with us to offer some very easy ideas and even fun ideas how parents can make this happen. Also to discuss upcoming changes in this coming school year's school science curriculum is the Executive Director of the New Jersey Association of School Administrators, Dr. Richard Bozzi. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
NJASA.net is going to learn more about these issues and many of the topics addressed by the New Jersey Association of School Administrators. And I was looking at that a study about how a cold stop and a restart of learning is affects. It was a John Hopkins University Center for Summer Learning study. And, you know, maybe the best analogy would be, say, if a person runs 2 miles a day, they wind up having to go somewhere where they can't run 2 miles a day for a couple of weeks. They come back home, try to go back out and do that first 2 miles after a couple of weeks. Probably after that first block, it's going to feel like they're going to die. So that cold restart does have an impact even on something like education.
Sure does. You know, there the studies and the one that you mentioned demonstrate that, particularly in math, kids lose about 2.5 months of learning based on standardized assessments over the summertime. In fact, for children who come from homes in poverty, they lose even more because they don't have the same kind of opportunities as kids who are coming from homes where there's more wealth and more opportunities in the summertime. So really, it's very, very important that we continue activities and try to make them as fun as we can for the children during the summertime.
One of the tips you have, too, is to reinforce math in daily life. And in New Jersey, that's easy because in the summer, we're all going to go down the Jersey Shore. That means typically going down the Garden State Parkway. So why not let the kids handle the coinage and do the math to make sure you have the right money for the right tolls?
Well, sure, you know, and you can even start before that. You can have them get on a mapping program and take a look at how many miles and the turns and do all kinds of things of that in that nature. And especially when you take a vacation, they get to, you know, plan some activities. And when those kind of planning skills, I think, are really critical. But reinforcing math is easy. You know, bring the kids into the kitchen, make their favorite dessert with them, have them measure out things. And there are other great activities. And parents who know their children well can find their interests and find ways to bring fun learning into the summertime.
My favorite one in the summer is count how many pieces of saltwater taffy is left in the box.
I have a feeling there aren't too many.
No, you better not blink. Otherwise, it's perpetual motion, they say, doesn't exist. They haven't seen me with a box of saltwater taffy. The puzzle books, word searches, brain teasers, I mean, that's got to be one of the easiest things because you can go to a newsstand, the checkout counter, the supermarket, the toy store. I mean, there are so many easy and fun things you could hand to the kid and say, you know, typically dismissive used to be amuse yourself, but you're really giving them something to learn from and keep the brain cells sharp.
Absolutely. There are certainly lots of things that one can bring. And for those long car rides, having something around for kids to do puzzles or to do word searches or even to play a game of hangman. I haven't found children yet who don't love to do that particular game. But, you know, one of the other real great resources is technology and the Internet. There are so many reading challenges and other kinds of activities that one can find from summer learning organizations and involve the children. They count the minutes. They ask them questions. They can do projects about the characters. You know, and it's all kinds of fun learning that are there. Parents need to obviously watch carefully and engage with them. And that's really an important part. Parents should learn along with their children and lead by example. So lots of activities, and we want to make sure that they stay active during the summertime. Unfortunately, there's some studies that tell us that kids don't eat as well during the summertime, and they tend to put a little more weight on. So, you know, around an hour of physical activity that the child likes will also encourage them. You know, the old saying about a healthy mind and a healthy body.
And also getting outside gets the kids curious about something we'll get into in a few moments, too, the nature and science that's around them, especially if they go into the pond areas and things like that with the sea wildlife. The idea, too, of just read. It's one of those things where kids seem to not be as active as they should, but once you give them a little spark, a lot of times, especially with, I know, in Sussex County, libraries across the state, really, they have all these summer reading clubs where they're, you want to call them perks, you want to call them bribes, whatever the case may be, that if you read a certain amount of books and read to a certain level and take part in a certain number of activities, you get some prizes at the end of the summer. So it's, you know, it's encouraging for a positive result.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned a real great resource, the public library. And I haven't met a children's librarian yet that doesn't have a whole group of ideas for kids and knows exactly what would be on target for the age level that parents are seeking to assist. So get to that librarian, get to the library. As I mentioned, reading challenges that are online. And there are even selections that will go by grade level. I just saw one site recently where they had 6 books for a 4-year-old, and then reading lists by grade level all the way up through high school. So, again, lots of resources now that we have the Internet. Parents can go there, get some fun ideas and projects. And speaking of projects, one of the things that kids often will engage in is some kind of community service. You know, again, not as work, but as learning how to deal with adults. It even brings in the work setting. So, you know, it's not hard to imagine some of the activities that parents might want to do with their children to keep them learning and to keep them active.
And this isn't to say keep a tight leash on the kids in the summer. Allow for, as you say, some unstructured time. Let the kids tell you what their interests are.
You know, I find a great strategy is to have a planning session with the child. During the school year, it's great to do that as to when you'll get your homework done, when you want to play. The same thing is true in the summertime. When might you want to do some of these activities based on the parent's schedule as well? And that really builds in the motivation for the child to say, hey, this was my idea. Let me participate in that.
Talking with Dr. Richard Mazza, Executive Director of the New Jersey Association of School Administrators, NJASA.net on the web, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Some changes coming down. We're not talking about the core curriculum. We're talking about something different now for schools in not just New Jersey, I believe it's 26 states. The science curriculum is not going to be just reliant on, for example, memorizing things like the periodic table. It's going to be, well, we know how you got what the we know you know the answer. How did you get to the answer type of thing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we see a big change coming there. In fact, we have a lot of changes in curriculum. We mentioned the Common Core State Standards, and this is sort of an offshoot out of that, where scientists and experts in science learning got together, developed a framework for education, science education in kindergarten through 12th grade, and now have been developed into what are generally known as the next generation science standards. And so, yes, we're going to see a lot more activity. It's not going to be so much the rote learning, but actually one of the big changes is to bring more engineering and technology into the science curriculum. So we're going to see more activities, and the interesting thing here is that there'll be lots of group activities actually practicing the scientists and engineers do. So throughout the curriculum, we see things like what are the scientific and engineering practices that you might incorporate from kindergarten right through 12th grade, asking questions and defining problems, which is really engineering. Developing and using models, analyzing and interpreting data are among those. And then there'll be areas throughout all of the various sciences, the life sciences, the earth and space sciences, physical sciences, engineering, technology, and applications of science, where there'll be common themes to really show how all of the sciences are interrelated. And finally, you know, we've often talked about a curriculum being a mile wide and an inch thick. We're going to say, hey, we can't teach everything in these 13 years that we have our students. So what is it that we can reasonably do and go into more depth and really get this idea of using reasoning and solving problems and critical thinking?
Sounds like a system, too, or a structure that would encourage the kids to be more active as opposed to just sitting there and absorbing, to be a more of a participant than an observer in the classroom.
Absolutely. I think you're spot on with that observation. We are going to have to do a lot of training, however, because this is even a change for the adults that teach science. And so we've got to get in there, and we're going to have to provide different kinds of materials. And again, this is not these are standards that we would like to see children achieve. They're not a curriculum. So we've got to have our adults, our teachers, our science supervisors working at how do we look at a curriculum that leads to students gaining these skills and practices. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us, especially as we're implementing the Common Core State Standards in English and math and also assessments that are coming up.
And as I believe it was the New Jersey Science Teachers Association, they're saying, along with other groups and administrators, don't look for instant change. Theoretically, you might even see a drop in some schools because of the changeover of the system, the way things are taught, the expectations on the students. So you might have to wait for a next school year or even maybe in some cases 3 years to get a really firm foundation to see whether or not everything is working the way it's designed to work.
Yes, and I think they're right in that observation and statement, because it really does take time to make the changes. And when we raise standards, I compare it to a high jump. If we raise that bar a little bit higher, you know, not so many of us are going to get over it right away. We've got to practice and strengthen ourselves. And the same thing is true in developing and delivering a curriculum and a program of activities for kids that they can now master these skills and this knowledge so that they can do better. And remember, this is all motivated about by our country and the 26 states that have developed these standards working together to prepare our kids for a world of work. We want to be competitive internationally. And these standards initially were developed by looking at some of the highest achieving countries in the science area and looking at what their standards were and how they are teaching them.
He is the executive director of the New Jersey Association of School Administrators, NJASA.net. On the web, Dr. Richard Baza, thank you as always for being here.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for sharing this with your audience.